It's 7:41 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Many students throughout the state are getting firsthand lessons in civics and finding ways to support their teachers as statewide walkouts continue.
Young people are here and we're watching, and you know, we care for the future of this state.
We'll hear from union leaders and also from students who are finding ways to speak up about the teacher strike. That's coming up on West Virginia Morning. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. The teacher and state service personnel work stoppage continues today. We bring you an audio postcard from the steps of the West Virginia Capitol building in Charleston yesterday, where Christine Campbell, president of the West Virginia chapter of the American Federation of Teachers, Dale Lee, president of the West Virginia Education Association, and Cecil Roberts, president of the United Mine Workers of America, announced the fourth day of the work stoppage.
The leaders in this building can get our students back to school where we want to be. The state is watching. The nation is watching. We are 55 United.
We're here for the kids we teach, and more importantly, for the kids of tomorrow. Yeah. Make no bones about it. We've made it perfectly clear from the beginning what we're here for. It's not one single issue, it's four. And we've made that clear. It's not only our health insurance, it's the pay, but it's also the respect and taking away the seniority, and those things have to go.
We're going to grab each other's hands, the person on either side of you, and we're going to make one continuous commitment to everybody in this state that works for a living. Consistent. We stand together for our students, our communities, and our state. We challenge the House leader, the Senate leader, and the governor to bring us to the table today. We are ready. We are willing. We stand on the right side of public education by being back here and outside our schools tomorrow. Because we are 55 United, we will not be back in school tomorrow for our students, our communities, and our state. 55 United!
55 United!
Those were the voices of Christine Campbell, Dale Lee, and Cecil Roberts speaking to thousands of teachers and other state workers as they rallied on the Capitol steps yesterday for the work stoppage. Students from Capitol High School in Charleston formed a group, hashtag Secure Our Future, to express solidarity with striking teachers throughout the state. They issued an open letter to clarify their intentions. Signatories visited our studios yesterday to talk about their letter and experiences.
Teachers across the state are striking this Thursday and Friday because of inadequate compensation and rising insurance premiums. We, as West Virginia students, are asking for your support in our movement to hashtag secure our future by ensuring our educators are compensated fairly and reasonably.
My name is Cora Dunlap. I'm a senior at Capital High School, and I guess the made-up title I would use is I'm a student organizer.
Hello, I'm Chase Goldsmith. I'm the senior class secretary on this plan. I'm just helping speak for us.
I got the Golden Horseshoe when I was in eighth grade, right? Like, so the history of West Virginia, and specifically the history of union activity in West Virginia, is, I think it's had a tremendous impact on the way that people see what's happening today.
I think it's just very heroic, if anything. Every day, teachers have been going down 6-7 o'clock in the morning, going to the Capitol, wanting their voices to be heard. And that is what this government, this is what our country, you know, was raised on, was like the right to protest, that your voices need to be heard. And they're not taking a day off, nor are us kids. You know, we're showing that, I mean, we can make a difference, and this is not a day off for us. These people are laying everything on the line, not just for pay, not just for, you know, better, you know, whatever. It's about setting the precedent that, you know, there has to be fairness. Our voices need to be heard. Young people are here and we're watching, and, you know, we care for the future of this state. We're not going crazy and doing a bunch of, you know, reckless and ridiculous things. I mean, we're representing this group, representing a community, I guess you could say, of people, of teachers and state employees.
And some guy came by on his car, spun around in the school parking lot, and went past again to yell at us that the strike wasn't the way and that it was going to hurt low-income families. And I remember, you know, sort of catching my breath, because we had talked about that, you know, prior. We had that conversation, overheard that conversation among teachers, but we'd also talked among ourselves that, you know, that you're not going to be getting school lunch, you know, and there are people who are going to need childcare for their elementary age kids. And, you know, I knew that my teachers had been organizing to collect food. They'd been coordinating with churches and community centers so there would be childcare available. They were doing everything in their power, but it wasn't like he was making some sort of invalid argument. We knew that, you know, this strike had a disproportionate impact on those people.
You know, those are valid questions, valid points. But what do you do on days of, you know, of extreme weather? What about snow days? What about all these? What do you do then? Are you not prepared then? Mm-hmm. As a parent, that is a job you have to be ready for. Let's look about through the years and years and years, you know, that we've in West Virginia have been, you know, bottom of the line test scores. How many kids do you think, out of a system that has 700 school teacher jobs unfilled, how many kids do you think have been passed through the system that didn't get full, you know, didn't get the attention that they needed, didn't get the help that they needed, didn't get the one-on-ones that they needed? Because, well, you know why? There wasn't enough teachers. This strike and these pay raises don't go, teachers are going to be moving off left and right. And that means more overages, less attention. Your kid is going to be swept under the rug. So, yeah, it's a hard time right now. You're in the storm right now. But in the future, they're going to receive that better education. We will never go a year where we don't get the correct amount of days. They will find a way to stuff it in at the end or fix it or go through spring break. They'll do something to get the 180 days.
So I wrote probably a dozen emails to different legislators with 6 very specific questions that I wanted answered. We went to the legislature on Civil Liberties Lobby Day, and we were meeting with them. And a lot of them didn't seem particularly interested in anything that we had to say. They weren't willing to meet. They weren't listening. They didn't have answers. Some of them openly admitted that they hadn't read the legislation that they were, you know, presenting, putting forth. I mean, it was a struggle that day. And so we wrote all these letters. We were hoping that if we gave them the time to prepare to email us back, that we would get a better response. And we got one response. The email in its entirety reads, "Thank you for your support of decent education sent from my iPad," and decent is misspelled. So I don't know what to say other than that they're very clearly underestimating us, underestimating what we know, how much we care, and underestimating you know, the likelihood that we will show up to vote, because every one of us who wrote the letter is a senior. You know, we're all going to be eligible to vote in the midterms and this year.
I don't have faith in the people down at the Capitol. I have the faith that our process is going to work. Yeah. I have faith in the fact that the people that are protesting, that the people's voices will, you know, reluctantly be heard.
Again, that was Chase Goldsmith and Cora Dunlap from Capitol High School here in Charleston. More than 20% of all state expenditures in Governor Jim Justice's 2019 budget are allocated for health and human resources. On last night's episode of the Legislature Today, host Andrea Lanham spoke with Senators Tom Tacubo and Ron Stallings, both doctors and both members of the Senate Health and Human Resources Committee, about legislation related to the opioid epidemic. Here's an excerpt from that interview.
So let's talk about the Opioid Reduction Act. The centerpiece is a provision placing limits on the initial prescription of opioid medications. Now, both of you supported an amendment to preserve the practitioner's decision-making authority in determining medically appropriate care. The majority leader was the one who originally changed that section in the Judiciary Committee. Can you speak to the importance of that measure? I'll start with you, Senator Stallings.
Well, again, the whole bill, we want to turn the spigot off if we can on opioid addiction. Part of the folks that are addicted now got started with legitimate prescription. And again, some 20 years ago, there was felt that we were under-treating pain and we started using more opioids and we didn't realize how addictive they were, frankly. There's people out there that are really hurting, and it would be very difficult for them to not be able to receive their pain medicine, and studies have shown that in many cases people that are being prescribed these medicines and are stopped all of a sudden go to illicit drug use. So it was a temporizing measure to the bill.
Now, Senator Tacubo, this bill addresses patient treatment moving forward, but it doesn't address care for current addicts. Does this happen in other bills, expansion of treatment and prevention measures?
Well, I believe what this bill really tried to do was the drug epidemic has to be fought on many, many different fronts. And this particular one was really trying to address over months and months of research and meetings through interims of how do you keep people from really getting addicted at the first place. Now, the other thing is that it also addressed patients that do have chronic pain that primary care is out there treating. And there has been this mindset that has really been unfair to people with chronic pain, that it's almost preempted providers to not treat chronic pain. And so what we tried to do with this bill is go by the data to cut off new prescriptions so that, grandkids or other people doesn't have that bottle of medicine laying in the medicine cabinet that was never finished in the first place, cut those way down to prevent those new prescriptions. But at the same time, we did some things in this bill to ease regulation a little bit so that people can be treated more fairly. And there's this kind of stigma about patients that have chronic pain. And as physicians get older, retire out, and leave, these people are left holding the bag, which I think promotes probably the heroin problem. And so we've tried to address all this as much as possible in the bill.
Now, Senator Stallings, you are sponsoring Senate Bill 332, allowing the DHHR to regulate local health departments and establish clean syringe exchange programs. Now, this is one of the tenets in Dr. Gupta's state opioid response plan, and he pointed out to the program last month that the data shows in other areas of the country where you have clean syringe exchange programs, a significant percentage of these folks will accept treatment.
Absolutely, and this needs to be a robust statewide system, which is what that bill tries to do. We have a pilot in Huntington. The Cabell Huntington Health Department has done a tremendous job, and we can take that data and transfer that to the entire state. There is a percolating...
Is this bill going to move along, though?
You know, to the degree, I'm not sure it will. Again, it allows rulemaking in, Gupta's office to make this statewide. So I'm not sure if it'll get out, but at least... You know, we can do it perhaps through some policy measures that would not actually codify it or put it in statute.
That was the Legislature Today host, Andrea Lanham, speaking with legislators Tom Tacubo and Ron Stallings from the West Virginia Senate. To hear more or watch the full interview, visit our website, wvpublic.org. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills.